And then there were four.
Four!
Nah, dude, not that kind of four.
Four men, four minds, eight fists, and a heap of silliness. They've traded in the bedroom for a proper studio.
And as always, these gents will try and make sense of the world with their words. And if words fail them, there's always this.
Ben Edwards with a huge finish.
But let's hope it doesn't come down to that.
Thanks to the butcher shop, Kayleen. Please welcome your hosts of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, Scotty.
Yes, I died for 6 minutes. No, there wasn't a lie.
Masters.
Ben. In Soviet Russia, I punch you.
Edwards.
Steve.
Hey, baby, want to see my microphone payoffs? And Duke.
How good do my abs look?
Didier.
It is the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, season 3, episode 23. In total, 70 episodes. I do find it funny that Stephen Payos wasn't here for episode 60.
That's ironic.
It's a little, isn't it?
Oh, sensational. It was always going to be the way, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm Scotty Masters.
I'm the Duke.
I'm Stevie P.
And obviously, a lot of people would know through social media, Ben not with us this week. Sadly, his dad, Ray, passed away last Thursday. He's been sick for quite a few years. And as sad as it is, as Ben said on his post, it's good that he's not in pain anymore. So to Ben and the family, our deepest condolences go out to you guys. And hopefully you get through this okay. I think the funeral is on Thursday, so Benny should be back with us next week. But he's got a lot of family in town that he hasn't seen for ages, so he said, I just want to hang with them this week. And it was like, yeah, man, of course, we can handle this.
Yeah, no problem at all.
It was a short, sharp episode last week, Jerky, wasn't it?
Short, sharp.
Payos is back, yeah, and all the grand finals happen. It ain't going to be short and sharp this week.
Was it short and sharp last week, was it?
It was about 46 minutes.
Yeah, I haven't got to it yet. Yeah, I haven't got to last week's episode yet, but yeah. I'll keep my bit short, though. Plenty to talk about. But
no, you won't.
We'll just raise the important topics and that'll be it, eh?
Plenty to talk about. How was your trip overseas, mate?
Good, thanks, mate. Very busy, actually, from the work front. It was hugely busy hosting a conference with 20 international countries, mate. It was pretty tough. So
you got back into the country, spent about 5 minutes at your house, then drove to Sydney for a fight show.
That's exactly right, mate. Got back in Sunday morning. Was at home for about 15 minutes, got a bag packed and had a quick shower and back on the road.
Fantastic.
Went up to do a show in Sydney, which was good. Uncle Wombat was up there, which is nice. Good to see him. And he was doing a bit of work for the show. As he does, he gets around everywhere, which is good. And that was good. And then from there, stayed in Sydney for the rest of the weekend and got back Monday night. So
nice.
It was a busy weekend, but here we are and firing again. So it's good to be back, boys.
Duke, I'm impressed that it is. We are recording on Tuesday night this week, but a long weekend, and you don't look too bad, man.
No, he's good. He's back.
Not too bad. We're all
I
right.
I saw a few snaps over the weekend. I went,
He stopped sending them to me. Good on him.
I sent him one on
the mailing list.
With good
sent
reason.
Sent him one on about Saturday night or Sunday night. I can't remember. Bon Jovi came on the 1,000 greatest cat, and I just gave it to him.
Yeah.
And then he gave it back. Duke said he was coming around. I said to the missus, I went, I think Duke's on the way to give me a love tap. I'm not sure what's happening.
Well, I was coming around. I was going to stay for a couple of days.
Yeah,
yeah, be careful what you're getting yourself into, Masters.
Just don't commit to that kind of thing.
Just sound like the Christmas party last year.
Yeah, exactly. Awesome.
Edwards ended up staying there.
Yeah, that's right. He did too. Well, listen, that and plenty more on the way. So let's get stuck into it. Thanks to the crew at the butcher shop. I did laugh. I didn't watch the NRL Grand Final. I was that miffed with the whole Slater thing that I honestly didn't watch
a
minute
of. So you stuck true to your word, mate. That's good from you. You said you weren't going to watch it and you didn't.
I watched the opening. I watched Gang of Youths to see what they sounded like. And the minute they finished, I turned it off, went straight back to Foxtel and just watched other stuff. So I didn't watch a minute of the game.
That's big from you.
But I do love that Gang of Youth played, and a lot of people were going, who are these guys? And they are an Australian band. They had a song in Justice League and all that stuff. They met at Hillsong about 4 years ago. It's how they got together. And Brendan Favola, the AFL great, gave him a serve on Twitter and went, who's the NRL entertainment? It's terrible because the AFL had Barnsley, because everyone knows Barnsley. Gang of Youth replied in a tweet to Favola going, Gang of Youth's grand final appearances, one, Brendan Favola, none. He just sent back, well played. I thought it was
funny.
Sensational. So
how good's that? A nice little Twitter spat which everyone's taking with a bit of fun. Yeah,
it was good. And they did a cover of David Bowie's We Can Be Heroes that was used in Justice League and all the trailers for the Justice League movie. It is an absolute cracker. So we'll kick off the podcast with that this week. Thanks to The Butcher Shop. It is season 3, episode 23 of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
I wish I could swim just like a dolphin, like dolphins can swim.
nothing, nothing keep us together. Yeah, we can be there forever, ever, 'cause we can be
Thanks very much, boys. Where do we start?
Action-packed
weekend. There's so much to talk about, but in the nature of keeping this as minimal as possible, I won't go into everything too much. But
no, you're up, man.
The two big things we need to talk about are obviously the two grand finals. I thought it was a superb weekend of grand final sport. I saw the AFL grand final on Saturday, but due to other commitments, I only caught a little bit of the NRL. Had intended to watch the whole thing and get there and located, but yep. Just things ran over time. So I only caught the last sort of 15 minutes of the game. But overall, it was a great weekend of sport, I think. I think we can say from the actual sporting perspective, it was fantastic. You had two great grand finals.
Yep.
As a Collingwood supporter, you'd be pretty disappointed, I think, from the AFL perspective.
They were just I was busy. I was doing a bunch of gardening with the missus, came in, turned it on, and went, oh, Collingwood have got this. They were like 20 in front, which isn't a great lead in AFL. You can get that back pretty quick. But, yeah, when they obviously got pipped at the post.
That was tough, yeah. 30 points to two up in the first quarter. So that's a big lead when it comes to a grand final. They really stormed out the blocks and were fantastic. You had some of their players like Treloar doing really, really well. Hoskin Elliott was just running the pants off the West Coast players. So they started really well, but West Coast's running game just came in over the top towards the end. They were awesome in the contested contest that went into, you know, the forward 50 of Collingwood. They were able to defend that, get the ball pushed out, and then get out of trouble. And they just steamed back over the top. Collingwood only scored 44 points then for the remainder of the three quarters and ended up losing 79 points to 74. But it was a great spectacle. It really was. MCG on grand final day for the AFL. It was their big
100,000.
Day. No major controversy to come out of that per se, other than, you know, I guess Collingwood losing.
Didn't the trainer run into someone or something?
It had nothing to do with that had nothing to do with Collingwood losing the game, mate. I mean, West Coast, in the last quarter, West Coast had four set shots on goal. Two of them were sitters and two of them were very kickable.
Yeah.
And they also had some chances in the third where if they'd have taken that, they would have won by 30 to 40 points and no one would have said anything. So that whole trainer situation is nothing to really go on about. Collingwood just, I guess, beaten by the better team on the day, even though they started really well. So a huge game. As I mentioned, no major controversy to come out of it. Disappointing if you're a Collingwood fan to sort of lose from being so far up.
Disappointing day for Collingwood. Their banner fell down before they could run out.
Eddie McGuire's going to have them all killed.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Well, you saw the memes coming up.
How funny was that photo of his face? Yeah. Just gutted.
The Batuta advocate was just waiting to just put that up as soon as the hooter went. They uploaded that straight away. It was just brilliant to watch. But great game of footy to end the AFL season. West Coast taking the premiership back. That's their third premiership in 24 years, all won in 12-year intervals. So, going back to when they won in 1994, you push that up to 2006 and then also 2018 now as well. So, excellent effort by them. Moving on, boys, the rugby league, that was an epic grand final from what I've heard.
I haven't actually watched it.
Tell us about the game, mate, and the major talking points.
The Roosters was all over the whole game. Yeah. So, I mean, basically, from the start to the finish, it was just the Rooster show.
Yeah.
Melbourne tried to come back near the end there, but, I mean, it was they were all over. You know, Billy Slater was just he didn't really have the same attacking sort of.
I heard he had a woeful game. Yeah. I mean, I'd like to sit down and watch a game later in the week, but he just had a woeful game. Is what I heard for his last game.
I decided I was going to go for the Roosters.
I read everything on social media the next day because I honestly didn't watch it. And from what you hear, you know, Latrell Mitchell was on fire. They just had everything covered, and while Cooper Cronk did very little. And I remember one guy I used to play with when I played juniors and stuff like that. His name was Sonny Hall. And if he was in our side, we couldn't be beaten. Mm. The minute he was out, the rest of us fell to water. And I think, obviously, that's why they put him in, busted as he was, because he meant so much to that team.
Is that good?
And no one's got a footballing brain like that kid.
There is absolutely no doubt that that's got to be the biggest talking point to come out of this game. In reading a lot of the wash-ups, Scotty, as you mentioned, in reading how they've spoken about what happened, it really is a phenomenal story what happened with Cooper Cronk. It turned out they had a 15 centimetres. It was centimetres, that's right, which is very long. That's in his scapula as well. It's a massive fracture.
Yeah. He went in from the sling all week and then back on the sling afterwards. So.
Well, I saw on NRL 360 last night, they said they went and needled him. They found a doctor that would needle him up because the bone wasn't moving, so they just needed to kill the pain. And they marked where the needles went with a permanent marker.
Absolutely.
So that at half time, they cut the jersey off him because they didn't want him to have to lift his arms any more than you thought.
Yep.
And if you see the footage of the start of the game when they're all singing the anthem, Cooper Cronk's hands are by his side. Everyone in the team had their arms around each other. He didn't have his arms up. That's how stuffed his arm was.
Exactly right. But and then what you say about that, if you read the story about what happened all week, it really is phenomenal. Like you read the Dr. Ibrahim story about how they went through the process to get him ready. They were making phone calls overseas in Australia, visiting doctors, talking to specialists. they'll scour the internet even just to get as much advice as possible. It come to Friday night. They took him like in a little secret after dark. They took him to a doctor's office on Friday to test how the anaesthetic would go. So they gave him the injection to see how it went, and apparently he was okay. They put him through some push-up drills, some passing drills, a little bit of contact to see how he pulled up from that. Apparently they just kept it so quiet. It was brilliantly done. Come to game day, they injected him. So after the warm-up, they did the same thing, cut his shirt off, injected him, put a new one on. So they did that again, basically before the time. Went to halftime, they did it again. And the fact that they're in such a strong position early, I mean, those three tries to go 18 zip up is what really put them in such a good position to dominate the rest of the game from there. Because once it became that arm wrestle, them being the best defensive team in the competition, Cronk just led them around the park. And the talk is that he's got that Tom Brady ability to just run the game. I mean, you've seen performances from some of the greats of the game, like Darren Lockyer as a game manager, Andrew Johns, one of the best game managers there was. As a halfback, even Cameron Smith of late, in even though don't like him for his Queensland and Australian, Queensland and Melbourne Storm, from Australia, he's been one of the greats. Yeah. So you've never really seen anyone in world sport, I guess, dominate a game from that management perspective with hardly touching anything. I mean, there's varied stats that I've seen, but it's like eight possessions. seven tackles or something, but other than that, no run meters, nothing else, a couple of kicks and that's about it. You know, hardly made a tackle, hardly had a hit up, but it was just brilliant to get them around the park.
So. And then Blake Ferguson broke his leg too with played 20 minutes to go. Yeah,
played half an hour with a broken leg.
I mean, that's got to be up there with some of the most phenomenal efforts with a broken leg. Even if it was a hairline or something like that, the pain would still be there. Like, it'd still be difficult to do that. Not to mention, you've got to then man up in defence, you've got to make the tackles and all that sort of stuff. The other thing that impressed me was Trent Robinson and the way that the Roosters planned around Cronk. Have a listen to this audio. It's fantastic, where it talks about all the different game plans of what Trent Robinson had. So it talked about, you know, how they were going to line up, you know, the fact that Orbison was named at seven, noting that he's played two out of his 260-odd first-grade games there was quite hilarious. So they threw the smoky out there, which you knew something was happening behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Then they talked about how Victor Radley was going to protect Cronk. You had Isaac Yeo coming in and looking after him as well. So it was just fantastic the way that they looked after Cooper Cronk, made sure they rushed out of the line, protected him, and just had a stellar game around him to let him do his thing. So have a listen to Robinson when he talks about all the different options that the Roosters had.
It wasn't a risk. We had two different plans. And Cooper's never a risk. And we were ready for if it didn't work out, we were ready to jump into that as well. Everybody was ready.
What was plan B,
Trent? Plan B was, I said it before, plan B was... the double bluff of Mitchell Orbison was going to play, defend three on the left, three on the right. Isaac Liu was going to play right edge back row. But Mitchell Orbison was going to play like Cooper did it on short sides. And Luke was going to run the game with Teddy. And our centres were going to move as an extra pivot from left to right. So our centres were going to take a fair bit of load. And run extra plays. Latrell was going to kick on the left. All of this, the boys went, sweet, we're going to do all this. We knew it all, and we also knew if Cooper wasn't going to get there, that was going to be the case within the game.
So you have a listen to that, and yeah, Robinson's basically explaining that. We had every single base covered, and then the stories are now emerging.
Tactically,
in the last,
it was legendary.
That's correct, yeah. You hear the stories emerging now the last 24 to 48 hours. It's just superb when you hear about how they went about the process. They looked after him. They made sure that everything he did was taken care of throughout the game. And overall, a guy that was, you know, in a real troublesome position, he came out of it okay. In that same presser, you know, they asked Cooper Cronk, is this, you know, were you risking your career basically by doing this? Like, nah, I'm all good. I mean, that's yet to be seen. I think if you sort of, it's like, you know, when you do an ACL or something like that, or you actually tear a rotator cuff or an AC, next minute you're in a position where you can do more damage to it. So I'd be curious to see what comes out. Surely, I mean, he's going to need some surgery.
He's got the off season now.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, got the off season to get ready now. How many more years do you think he'll go for, Scotty? Maybe one or two more. He's one of the greats of the game.
I reckon one more.
One more.
Yeah, one more. Him and his missus, one kid, and all that. Yeah, he's done everything.
Well, she's about to give birth, I think. I think she's pretty close, I think. And she apparently was in his ear as well, saying, mate, you've got an opportunity to play.
Yep.
If there's no risk to your future health, and you just got to suck up a bit of pain and get out there and have a crack. And,
yeah.
And well done. So, you know, it broke the Storm's chances of a dynasty, realistically. You're sort of talking about a first team in 25, 26 years to defend their championship. So, a huge effort from Melbourne to get that far. That's three grand finals in a row. They've only won one, but let's not take away from the fact that as a club side over the last 20 years of six or seven grand finals, Scotty, only two of premierships of Canada, which is just
a
funny story. I mean, for a team that should have, you know, five in their history all chalked up.
That's what you get for being a dirty pack of cheating bastards. Sorry.
That's how it goes.
Jeez, I've loved riling up some Melbourne fans
on Facebook the last week. It's been good, hasn't
it? It's good gold.
Gotta love the band, Scotty. I love it.
Yeah, they'll always be tarred with it. Just be cheats.
The NRL's tried to rub us out of the game. No, not at all. And when Cameron Smith carried on about how disrespectful the crowd was to Billy Slater, I jumped on, I think it was Nine News yesterday, and went, you know what's disrespectful, Cameron? Getting an extra 100K in the back pocket and only telling everyone when you got caught, then saying you didn't know you were getting paid an extra 100 grand. Grant, that's disrespectful.
That's correct, or getting a boat put on your front yard or all these other back pocket payments that happened for these blokes all those years ago. I mean, I guess what that also highlights, and I'll put my hand up and say what Manly have done with the salary cap is no good, and that's obviously some cheating there, which is terrible from my perspective, but there must be some huge discrepancies in the type and what's happened there. So Manly have just copped a fine,
yep.
and have been told, look, don't...
I mean, Canberra's copped a fine, Parramatta copped a fine, Newcastle copped a fine, and they reckon a lot of it's got to do when they have to bring people in to cover injured players and it pops them just over
that's
the cap.
That's correct. So by the sounds of things...
They know it's a breach. They volunteer that information. So they just say, oh, it's a breach. Look, we're going to get fined.
That's exactly right. So by the sounds of things, it puts it in a position where it's difficult to judge the levels of it. If it's something where it is just more of an accident as opposed to getting stripped of your titles, losing points for a whole season, playing for nothing, all that sort of stuff as well. So, don't really care. When it comes to Melbourne, that's their situation they're in. But the off-season is upon us for those codes in Australia. So an excellent weekend of grand final sport. The Wallabies continue their spiral into oblivion at the moment.
I didn't even watch it.
It wasn't a blowout. It wasn't a blowout. 23 to 12. However, I didn't get to see that one. I was on an overnight flight. But from all reports of what I've read, we were just dominated throughout the game. South Africa were even lost a man at one point. And we just had absolutely nothing where we weren't able to actually come in over the top. So, Duke, I don't know where it goes from here. There's been a few sort of pieces in the papers today about some older, wiser heads getting involved, potentially Alan Jones as well.
Bob Dwyer getting
towards together in a think tank. What do we do from here, though, Duke? Because the team is just spiraling out of control and there's too much controversy. Michael Checker's got to be dangling close now. I mean, he was great when he came in, but we're just struggling. We really can't put it together.
Is it on him, or is it just we just don't have the men right now? Like, we just don't have the right team.
The personnel going through stages.
They reckon a lot of it's got to do with the top end of it too. Like when Pat Howard came in as performance manager and like all that stuff. Like,
the question is though, Duke, is what is going on with the Super Comp and the fact that our teams are so dishevelled as they've been of late. And the fact that the Western Force have sort of played in their rebel comp or whatever it is recently as well. How much of an effort is that putting onto the actual Australian team themselves? Yeah, I mean, what sort of impact is that having on the combinations, on them playing for a coach who just can't get the best players together, let alone get the best out of the team he puts together?
Yeah, look, it's broken. The system is broken. So they need to do something dramatic and do it soon.
Yep. To get to that point, over in Argentina, New Zealand travelled there and avenged somewhat their defeat to South Africa a few weeks back. They were pretty comfortable in defeating the Pumas in Argentina, 35 points to 12. So that was a pretty big result for New Zealand. Australia finish off the Rugby Championship. I was going to say the Tri Nations, but it is the Rugby Championship now in Argentina next week, followed by one more Bledisloe flogging to take place in Yokohama, I believe, the last game is. So that'll be a fascinating experience for anyone to travel to. But apart from that, I expect us to get pretty comprehensively creamed when we play that last Bledisloe Cup game, unfortunately. The Ryder Cup overnight was sensational. Well, not overnight now. It was a couple of days back.
Saturday, I think. Yeah,
but it was sensational. There was some great golfing action. Europe and the US going at this for the 42nd time in the Ryder Cup. It was played in Paris, France. And a resounding victory for the Europeans, 17.5 to 10.5.
They generally do well in Europe when they play the Ryder Cup.
That's right. So they won it back from the Americans after a pretty controversial Ryder Cup last year in the US. But it was a sensational performance from guys like Molinari, who's the first time a major winner of a golf major who's ever gone 5-0 in all of his matches. When you're talking, the singles, the foursomes, or the two ball, that sort of stuff, it was brilliant to watch. So some really great golf, and it showed the passion of the team sport getting together. And they've sort of done that now with the Laver Cup as well in the tennis. They've got that together now and made that really exciting with all these teams coming together. So it was just superb to see how that's all gone. One thing I did want to make a note of, which I've just remembered, and that was about Greg Inglis, but I've just noticed that that's in our listener question, which is fantastic. So I won't go into that too much, but other stars behaving badly. Cristiano Ronaldo looks like he's having a case reopened against him from 2009 about raping an aspiring model. All allegations. Oh dear. I will put that on my statement because that is a case. However, there was talk that he paid hush money of $375,000 to keep the story quiet.
Wow.
And at the time, there was a statement from a Las Vegas police commissioner or something along those lines saying that there was a real chance he would have been going away for a very long time, up to life, for this. So it's a very serious allegation.
Is it the case where he just wouldn't go back over to America?
I don't know what happens then. That's a good call. Does he get extradited if it happens?
I don't think he gets extradited in Spain while Australians...
Well, he's in Italy now. I mean, he's playing for Juventus. But yeah, you're right. Is there an extradition treaty? I don't know how that's going to develop. Yeah. But this story's gathered a lot of momentum in the last 24 hours. Ronaldo's come out. And normally when these things get... and the examples I'll give are, you get big scars that get caught up in tax evasion issues and that sort of stuff. They, whatever, that's all garbage. We'll get out of it. We'll get a fine, no worries. They don't... almost acknowledge it. He's gone on his Instagram straight away saying, this is fake news, this is garbage.
Yep.
I would never do something like this. And the talk is that it's a pretty serious allegation of what he's done. So obviously. Stars behaving badly, not very good at all. So let's see how that one pans out. And in the Premier League over the weekend, we saw some big performances from Eden Hazard at Chelsea. And they drew 1-1 with Liverpool in what was a very close to the top of the table clash. The woes for Manchester United continue. They lost again 3-1 to West Ham, their worst start to a Premier League season since 1989. The big interesting story there is they've got some really big players. You've got Paul Pogba, who started and won the World Cup for France, was absolutely sensational back in June in Russia and winning that World Cup. And then you've got guys like Alexis Sanchez, who had a big move as well, the Chilean, last year. And what's happened with him is that he's been left out of the squad now for underperforming. Their manager's under huge amounts of pressure. So it is a really big developing story that's going on there. Nice. So interesting times all over the world of sport. But overall, it was good to see a great weekend of Aussie sport. Here with the NRL and AFL Grand Finals and then some big European action over the weekend as well.
Famous. Queen Vienne is famous for the Campeses, George Lazenby, Mark Webber, and it's where this podcast is recorded. Well, 3 out of 4 ain't bad, I guess. It's the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty, Benny, Steve and Duke.
Well, 4 episodes left to go, and then the Butcher Shop get to have a little bit of a hiatus from the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast as well. But we do thank them for their support over the last 3 years on the podcast. Without them, we wouldn't be here. And their meat, well, it is just next level, isn't it, Stevie?
Absolutely, mate. It was fantastic. I really enjoyed it.
Do you need more eggs?
I need some more eggs. I'll get
you some tomorrow.
Yeah, please, mate. That'd be good. They do definitely need some more eggs. They're fantastic from the Butcher Shop.
Get that protein up, mate.
Yeah. Keep it up. Stay buff. Stay strong now. Goes, baby.
So what are you doing with the eggs every morning? Because you said, I need 2 a morning. What are you doing?
Just boiling them. Yeah. A bit of veggies and a bit of bacon for breakfast. That's Dr. Conti's put me on the diet.
So has perfect, he? Mate. Was he putting you on keto or something, has he?
No, not keto? No, I don't think so.
Eating carbs?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so it's definitely not keto then.
Conti's philosophies on food is just pretty clean usually.
Just eat clean and don't complicate it. That's what. And for someone like me, I'm not an elite athlete or anything like that, so it doesn't matter. As in, you feel like a bit of rice or a bit of carbs, you eat it. You won't have 2 or 3 cheats a week instead of one, then no problem at all. You just got to eat smart and be clean, and that's why if you get your protein from the butcher shop, it's going to be the best thing you can do in terms of a very strong and healthy diet.
They got a bunch of new snags. I saw them last week, and I was that busy that I didn't grab any. I'm certainly going to get some tomorrow. There's the mignon sausage. There's the New Yorker. There's the Italian pizza. There's another Italian one. Yeah, there's a bunch of good ones. There's a bacon and leek snag as well. So I might grab you boys some of those tomorrow while I'm there.
I like flavoured sausage.
And on that note, we'll just say get to the butcher shop in Kayleen. It is Canberra's best meat where the quality is remembered
never left.
Long after the price is forgotten.
And now on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, it's time for The Week in Review.
All right, lads. Well, in honour of our good mate who is missing this week, he loves this segment. He hates the top five, so it's time for another week in review. And first up this weekend, you think Aussie politics is bad? Interesting election going on in Arizona as we speak, where State Representative Paul Gosar is running for re-election, and all 6 of his brothers and sisters are in a TV commercial endorsing his opponent.
Oh.
How awkward. Is that going to make Thanksgiving next month?
Yeah. Broken home.
Holiday dinner.
6 brothers and sisters.
What's the backstory to that story? They just don't like him, mate.
I just saw that and went, that'll do me. I love that. So I didn't look right into it, but obviously there's a bit going on in that family. So, yeah.
Yeah.
The number of people living with Alzheimer's disease expected to double by 2060. In other news, the number of people living with Alzheimer's disease expected to double by the year 2060.
Clever.
To celebrate his 50th birthday, Will Smith bungee jumped out of a helicopter over the Grand Canyon. For my upcoming 50th in a few years, I'm going to ring Arpia and get cheaper insurance. That's what I'm going to do. President Trump says that China is attempting to interfere with this year's election results in the US. I bet most Democrats are hoping they do a better job than the Russians did during the last one.
Yeah.
A new survey claims that 1 in every 10 people have had sex at an airport to pass the time. Payos, I'm looking at you. All this time I've been wasting money on expensive magazines from the newsagent at the airport.
Yeah.
Should have been on the job. New study claims firstborn kids are the smartest of the bunch. To show just how smart I really am, I'm not going to bring that up with my younger sister who does nuclear medicine. And finally this week, news reports say there are 1,000 feral rhesus monkeys living in Florida and many of them have herpes. True story. Whatever you do, don't walk around in Florida acting like a sexy banana.
Ah, that was great. Ben would have loved all of them.
He would have loved that, wouldn't he? No, probably not. He would have giggled.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to the Butcher Shop, Kayleen. And now it's time for Talking Takedowns. With the man who has a tattoo of Bon Jovi on his left ass cheek.
Ladies and gentlemen,
please welcome Duke Didier.
Dukey, it all rests on your shoulders this week, mate.
Big week, big pressure. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Talking Takedowns.
Huge week.
Massive week.
Massive week of fights.
Massive week. That was a bit of a serious entry there from Didier.
I'm serious. I'm not going to muck this up. I've got notes. I'm here. I'm ready.
All right, let's go.
On Saturday in America, Sunday here, our Bellator 206 took place. That was headlined by the middleweight champ, Gegard Mousasi, versus the welterweight champ, Rory McDonald. Mm. On the undercard,
you picked Mousasi on that, didn't you?
I picked Mousasi on that, and I was correct.
Nice.
He won by TKO in the second round. He was all over him. Mm-hmm. He just bigger, just more explosive. It was just a better. Mousasi was a better fighter on the day. So Rory McDonald he's a great fighter, but
he's a great experienced fighter too as well.
He's been around the traps, but Mousasi just absolutely belted him.
Yeah. I liked
him. Yeah. So it got to the point where McDonald couldn't take down Mousasi. So he pulled guard, which is basically where you just lay on your back.
Yeah.
So he's pulled guard in the middle, and Mousasi's just smashed him through, ended up mounting him and beating him with big elbows.
Yeah,
so,
right.
Yeah. Awesome. But the
peculiar way to finish, though, isn't it? I mean, look, knowing that you just got nothing to actually get through that defense.
Yeah, Mousasi's one of the most underrated fighters in the world, I reckon. And this is hopefully a good one to put him on the map, because this is Bellator's one of their biggest shows.
Yeah.
On the undercard, Rampage Jackson defeated Wanderlei Silva. Was cool too.
It was good to watch. Yeah.
But I was really enjoying watching that. So he was all over him as well. I think it sort of edged him out in the first two rounds, and the third we got him with that with the big overhand right.
Yeah.
So he was pretty good. Nostalgic there. Fought four times. Now it's 2-2.
Yep.
So I reckon they'll do it.
They'll squeeze
the juice out of that fight. I reckon.
April next year.
They'll squeeze the juice out of those Wanderlei Silva the juice. I reckon. I think Wanderlei Silva is probably, he'll end up fighting another name.
Yeah.
And I reckon Rampage will do the same, then they'll get back together and do it again.
Okay.
Yeah. If there's money to be made, they'll make it.
Yep. True.
Also on the undercard, Douglas Lima defeated Andre Korshakov. Look, Douglas Lima, he's been around for a long time, former champion, so he'll probably get a name soon. He lost to Mousasi, so it'll be interesting where he goes from there. Aaron Pico, the top prospect I touched on last week, he won with another devastating finish. So he beat Leandro, I think it says Higo. I can't read my own writing. How about this? I've done the prep and I can't even read my own
writing.
That's
good. I've done all the notes this week, baby. Have a look.
It's true. He's got notes.
And on the undercard, Aussie Arlene Blanco from Sydney defeated Amber LeBreach. Yeah, she was an American.
Yep.
They got a bit tested.
Probably the still is.
Yeah. Yeah. So they got a bit tested at the weigh-ins, but yeah, it was pretty. It was pretty good to see an Aussie. She actually got an armbar pulled on her, and she just slammed it through the armbar.
Yeah, right.
And end up with a finish. So yeah, cool, good stuff for the Aussies. And now we've got UFC. It's the big one this week. Finally,
2-2. The wait is over. I know.
Khabib Nurmagomedov versus Conor McGregor. I can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And on YouTube this week, they've been giving out free fights to the two. Like every day, a new fight will come out. A previous fight. And
yeah, I watched some on Saturday.
Yeah, I watched a couple. Just Alvarez and Aldo and stuff. And as Ben said on the podcast in the past, and I think everyone's saying the same thing. If it stays up, Conor wins. If it goes to the ground, although I will say in one of those fights that Conor had that I watched, he was on the ground for a fair while and his defense was actually pretty good.
So that'll be the Mendes fight.
That was the one, yes.
He definitely, people don't realise that Mendes is one of the best in the world. So the fact that he,
Conor ate some elbows, but he handled them okay.
Yeah, look, he got split, I remember, but he had a bit of claret, but he ended up coming through and everyone talks about his gas tank. I mean, he followed through for that after that. It was the second round. I think he came through with the third round finish, but look, we'll see what happens here in this fight. I mean, it's a big, it's just the oldest MMA fight you can make. Grappler versus striker.
Yep.
Look, my heart still says Connor, but my head's really leaning towards Khabib.
So. You're already going that way more, are you?
Yeah, I don't know. But then I did watch.
What are you going to do with your betting money, Duke? That's the important one.
I haven't even decided. I hate betting on hard fights because
you just got to go in a situation like this. You just go the underdog on the tab, don't you? Because that's where your money's going to be won.
Yeah, probably.
I think you got to pick the round, don't you?
Yeah, pick a multi or something.
Pick the round method.
Yep.
So I mean, I'm going to say Conor McGregor second round. This is what I said for the Alvarez fight: second round knockout.
Okay,
I'm going to say that. But I might change my
mind. You just did say it.
I might change my mind. For undercard, the undercard is reasonably stacked. It's headlined by, and this is an interesting one to keep your eye on, Tony Ferguson versus Anthony Pettis.
Huge.
Because Conor McGregor said today, it came out in the media, that if Khabib, which is known to not make weight, or he's had weight-cutting issues as well, if anything happens to Khabib, he'll fight either Ferguson or Pettis.
Yeah, on this card.
Yeah, on this card.
Yeah, but he's always done that, hasn't he? Connor's taken a lot of fights on short notice.
Khabib's had, and that fight with Tony Ferguson's been in the mixer for a while. But he's, you know, how likely is Khabib to miss this, though, you reckon, Duke? Is there a serious chance? Because he has had problems in the past.
So. I don't think there'll be a serious chance. There's too much money on the line. I think they've been looking after his weight a lot more. I mean, he's learned these lessons the hard way.
Yeah.
And I think he's not going to blow it in this one. You think that
because he blew it for his fight against Tony Ferguson, didn't he?
Yeah. They've got to manage his weight a little bit more. I think the coaches are looking after his weight. Yeah, you'd hope, wouldn't you? You'd hope
the biggest fight that the UFC has ever had.
Weight cutting issue. You've got to be professional about these things. And I mean, I think he was taking a little lax, and then he's had these scares, and now everything's pretty serious. Also on the undercard, we've got Irvin St. Priest, who just beat Tyson Pedro, the Aussie. Mm. He's fighting Dominic Reeves, who's undefeated at light heavyweight. So that'll be an interesting one as well. I mean, I'm going to go with OSP. He looks like he's sort of a bit of resurgence in form.
Yep.
Also on the undercard, Derek Lewis, big brown bear. He's fighting Alexander Volkov, who's the Russian, who absolutely iced Vadum last fight. So that'll be definitely a good one. I'll be picking Volkov for that one. And also the women's strawweight is Michelle, the karate hottie Waterson, versus Felice Herring. A couple of good-looking girls there. And I'll be picking Waterson for that one. Also, there was supposed to be Sugar Sean O'Malley, the guy from the Contender Series that really made quite a name, quite a stir, and one of the top prospects. He has been removed from the card due to a USADA violation.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
Initially, I thought it would be marijuana because he's very vocal about his
marijuana.
But I think I'm reading rumors that it was a SARM. So the SARMs are sort of like, are similar to a steroid where it's like different things.
Are they the crazy fat burners though, the ones, Juki? And they really heat your body up to just burn through fat when you're training, and they can like cook you from the inside out.
That's clenbuterol, they have different SARMs for like different things. I think it's sort of the hottest sort of thing that's going around right now. And a lot of, I mean, there's so many ingredients that can be banned. If you don't know exactly what's in your products, then they reckon they've already linked it to a tainted supplement, which means they've either done their homework or they've taken something that, you know. But most of these people aren't trying to cheat. They're not trying to get away with it. They're taking supplements and they just don't know what's in them. And as we've talked about before, things come off the production line and then they redo a product and there's stuff in there.
Use different ingredients.
They use different ingredients. Yeah. Stuff happens. And the supplement industry, especially in America, isn't very it doesn't come under the food
drug administration.
Food and drug administration. So they can put whatever they want in there.
Okay.
So, and it's just not, it's not the same. They're not putting all the ingredients on the thing and then,
But again, if you're a professional athlete, especially at that level, wouldn't you be so bloody wary of what you're putting in your body?
You'd expect so much, wouldn't you?
I was on testing for a very long time for USADA, for judo, and I'd always raise the point. I go, like, the UFC have this, they have someone in there making sure that the fighters are educated in that, and we had that. But I don't want people to tell me what I can't take. Tell me what I can take.
Yeah.
Give me a brand, give me a product, and say
you can have that.
Don't say you might be able to have that, but we don't know. They say, like, protein, they go, well, these brands say that they're USADA friendly or something.
Yeah.
I said, don't leave it vague. Yeah. Tell me, all right, if you want to tell me what I can take. You know, because the list
is
so long.
That's pretty poor form, isn't it? That didn't give you an actual heads up. Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much what you get back. Oh, maybe. Oh, look, yeah, no, we can't say yes, we can't say no. And you're like, well, what's the point of having these education meetings where you and what's the point of trying to develop develop athletes when you're not looking out for their best interests, you know? Like, anyway. So it's a tough one, and I don't know what the end result of this USADA thing is, because a lot of people are getting violations this, and UFC have recently changed their policy where they, instead of having a violation and it's announced to the public, now the violation would be private until it's proven that you were on bad stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
So this was the first case for this one as well. Like, he actually came out and said, well, I want to be honest about this, and this is why I'm off the card. Like, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
In case, you know, I don't think that's looking at, like, I mean, it's going to come out in the wash anyway.
Yeah.
And I like that, though, is that fighters' names aren't being dragged through the mud when they've just taken a tainted supplement.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's going to be a bumper show. I think I'm not sure. I was going to go Hellenic. Me and Steve were talking about it. I don't think I'll go out for this. I'm going to try and lay low.
Stay home.
Yeah, I'll go to my mate Mick's house, and we'll watch it there.
Just watch it with all the commentary on. Watch it with the old man or something like that, and just enjoy it, because it'd just be too packed. I mean, it's always a good atmosphere when you head out there, but like you said, Duke, you can't hear the commentary.
Want to pay attention.
It's a good card, though. Like, the main card is very good. So,
and usually, I didn't even look at the prelims, but I looked. That was just the main card. It's going to be bumper. Usually, all the fights are good. They put them on there as a sort of showcase event where they've got more eyes than normal. So. Yeah, I can't wait. That's the fight news. Did you want to touch on boxing?
Yeah, I was just going to say, well, we'll have a quick chat about it, Duke, but it looks like, well, not looks like, Fury and Wilder are all set now for, locked, I think it's December 2. Yeah.
LA.
LA, the Staples Center. Yeah, yeah, I mean, their first presser over the last couple of days was interesting to watch. A little bit sort of, I wouldn't say put on, but you know, you could sort of tell it was going to lead into that whole face-to-face and pushy-shovey, all that sort of stuff, and then plenty of comments afterwards about all the respect and, oh, no, it's just because how much we love each other, respect each other, followed by my wife pushes harder than you from Fury. Like, it's just almost like, bloody hell, man.
Boxing, they set, especially Showtime, they set those press conferences up to be more like
theatric.
The UFC guys, sort of, they don't do it like that. They sort of
let it happen naturally, and it's a bit more genuine.
They manufacture it a bit with the boxing.
What's your thoughts now that it's all said and done? Does Fury have a chance? He's got a 2 month camp from now.
I'm back in Fury.
I don't think he's had enough fights back. I mean, I don't think he'd be sharp enough. The Bomber's been active and been knocking people out, and he's come through a couple of tough last fights. So I think, I don't know. I'm going
to
go.
I think Fury's got a point to prove. He's got his head back in the game as best as he can get his head back in the game. And I mean, the guy, lineal champion, like, you never know. And he wants AJ.
Yeah.
And the only way to get AJ is to win.
But how does he still hang on to that, though? He shouldn't be hanging on to anything, though, really, Fury, at the moment. That's the thing, because of the nature of the lack of stripping. That's a problem with, you look at any of the other major federation belts are long gone by then. I mean, it's just silly. Mm.
I think it's going to be good just to be able to get all those belts together and have a lineal champion.
Yeah.
Like, have an undisputed
December 2. I think that's actually the weekend we were planning the podcast Christmas party, boys.
Oh,
that could be a big weekend.
December 2 is a Sunday. It'll be Sunday our time, so early in the morning. But the December 1 overnight, I think, or, you know, in America on the Saturday.
We'll have some
night,
red drink and stay up and watch it.
Red drink. a bit of cordial.
Yeah. Toot toot.
Sugar, man, that stuff will send you hyper.
Yeah, exactly right. But I'm curious to see how it all pans out, because, I mean, obviously the intention will be for the winner to go on and fight AJ for all his belts and have that.
For all the marbles.
Like you say, have that straight line champ. But, you know, I mean,
they're setting it up for, they must be thinking that Joshua's going to get better. I think the only reason they didn't just go straight away to get that last belt, they must. And you know what? I think
good test Fury's, against Povetkin.
Fury's a worse fight for Joshua than Deontay Wilder.
Deontay
Wilder's, you know, he could land a shot, but I think it's Fury that
kill or be killed.
Well, Fury can box. Fury can box.
He's a tough cookie to crack.
Yeah.
No one's worked it out.
His Klitschko win was very ugly. You read about it, you watch it. It was an ugly performance, but you know what? He won, and that's all that matters in a way, doesn't it?
It is interesting though. Ever since, you know, when he lost and the Klitschko sort of dynasty ended. The attention came back on the boxing, like on the heavyweight boxing scene, didn't it?
Yeah.
Before then, even when Fury won, I don't remember much build around that fight. And then Fury won, and then everything
started
came in.
So
all the belts
off,
went all across everywhere
that's
again.
That's it. It just changed everything.
And then we got a few characters. So December 2 is going to be a really good one. Hopefully, then heavyweight boxing gets another big epic mega fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's destined to be, isn't it? That's what's going to happen from it. I mean, AJ was good against Povetkin. He got rocked early and come back again from that. So that's a tester for him in terms of his chin and stamina. So let's see how he comes out of that now for an April 13. I think they've organised it for. I think it's the Easter weekend is when they're doing it in England. I think Saturday of the Easter weekend. So it'll be a big fight next year.
Yeah, mad.
What do you get when you cross a former radio host, two Biff merchants, and the human version of Viagra? You get this. The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty, Ben, Steve and Duke. Need advice? You've come to the wrong place. It's listener question time.
Our listeners are nothing if but topical. Lads, Kinky J on the emails.
Hey, Kinky J.
Kinky J on the emails. After a great weekend for Rugby League, Greg Inglis goes and blows it by being charged with DUI and speeding. Do you think he should not only lose his captaincy but also his spot in the Australian team?
Great topic, great timing, noting that things have developed extremely rapidly since the question was posed. So thanks, Kinky D.
Kinky J.
Thank you very much for that question.
I'll send it in.
One thing, I mean, this was a topic that I wanted to talk about before as part of the rugby league, but you know, what's come out of this has been the right call. That there was two. I didn't see the presser, but I read the quotes where Inglis has come out and said, "I haven't let the Australian rugby league team down, but I've let down my community and my friends and
because he was
my
coming
family.
From a Koori knockout out at Dubbo.
That's correct.
And driving back, got done at Lithgow.
And it was the next day.
He was speeding as well.
It was the next day. Speeding and
so he's
and
had a big night and gone early and still been over the limit.
That's correct. Yeah. So they reckon he was driving and he got done at around about midday the next day, still at 0.093, so he's close.
Had a fair drink.
This is what I was thinking. He's probably because I think the article and the quotes talked about it, he only had a few drinks. I'm like, okay, I've said that when I've had 28 standard drinks as well. Because if you're still 0.093 at midday the next day,
you've had a big sip.
You still double the limit, and truly after you probably went to bed. You know,
that's why I got a breathalyzer. I bought one. The next day is the one that can trap you.
Yeah,
like seriously, especially you know some nights you don't drink that much and you wake up and you blow it. And you're over, and you just go, geez, that could have been bad.
That's right, because you just don't know, do you?
That's right.
So to answer the question, the right thing has happened to you. The fact that GI said, I'm not going to stand down from the captaincy because I haven't let the team down.
I thought that was poor.
Absolute garbage.
I think the fact is you can play, you can be in a team, okay, and representing your country, that's still, you know, it's not holding yourself to a high level.
But precedent was set last year.
That's what a captaincy is, though.
Josh Papali last year was rubbed out of the side because he had a drink-driving charge. He was stood down from the team by Mal Meninga, who went, no, there's no place for that. I'm trying to breed this, you know, the Queensland culture we've had in Queensland in the Australian team. And then they go and let arguably the world's best centre still stay in the squad.
So he's still playing. He's just stripped of captaincy.
No, he's been banned. He's been banned.
For two games. Just two games.
At the moment. I don't know what that means from here.
No,
I mean,
a two-game suspension is what it is.
Yeah, so he's going to miss the test versus New Zealand, the test versus Tonga, and that's it. He's done. He's rubbed out, and it's the right call to make.
Yeah.
The question that was posed to me this afternoon was if he put his hand up and said, look, I made a serious mistake here. I'm going to stand out from the captaincy.
Would you leave him in?
Yeah, would you leave him in? That's the question. And I said, there's no way you can leave him in still.
Not after Papali. Last year.
That's all. Willie Mason got done for the same thing years and years ago as well.
Yes, that's right, when he was in Newcastle.
Remember the same thing. So.
I think they haven't said they've stripped him of the captaincy, but I don't see him coming back as captain.
I wouldn't think so now. No. He's stood down for now for these two
games. Boyd Cordner will get it.
Even when he comes back in, that's it. He won't get the captaincy again.
No, Boyd Cordner will get
it. And the fact that he was, named it yesterday, or was it yesterday or the day before?
Yeah, he was named yesterday morning and got popped at midday.
There you go. Yeah. Yep, fantastic work. So.
not ideal.
I mean, we're all human. You can make a mistake. You think you're right to go the next day and you get done. But at the end of the day, as you said, it was quite a... It was classed as mid-range, but at midday the next day means you were drinking pretty late into the night. Unless he's got the world's worst metabolism.
Or you've had a million drinks before. It said this is what the article said, that he got home around about between 11 and 1. So it's a vague time frame on what time he got home, between 11 and 1.
Yeah.
And you're telling
me
that...
So he was stonkered.
12 hours later, he was still double the limit. You're talking, he must have been maybe four or five times over the limit and he went to bed. He must have been blind.
Yeah. Well, and then he also got done for speeding.
And speeding as well. So, right decision, Kinky J. That's, the answer to the question, in my opinion, is that the right thing has happened with him being stripped. You can't...
Who are they replacing within the centres?
I'm not sure. I mean, the talk was about who was going to partner him between...
Well, it would have been Mitchell, wouldn't it?
Yeah, Latrell. Yeah. And there was another name.
Who, Gagai?
Yeah. Well, I don't think it was Gagai at the time.
Yeah.
But that's what they were talking about, who was going to partner Latrell in those centres. But, yeah,
it won't I'm not be sure. Chambers. He got schooled on the weekend from everything I read.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. No, he was no good. But yeah. Latrell was awesome on the weekend. I mean, he should be a really walk-up starter now in all the
red
teams.
He's red hot
teams,
now,
really.
Isn't he?
Oh, yeah. He's Origin this year and he's just gone up and up and up and up. Up.
That's he won a premiership, so right call. Sorry, Gio.
The podcast you're listening to is pre-recorded before a live studio fern. The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty, Ben, Steve and Duke.
Well, folks, another episode of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast is coming to an end thanks to the Butcher Shop in Kayleen. Again, we want to pay our respects to the Edwards family. A huge week for them, a sad week for them. It's why Ben's not with us on this episode, but hopefully he will be back with us next week. So, to Ben's mum, June, and all the family, it's obviously a tough time, but hopefully they get through it this week and remember some good times with Ray. I put it on Ben's Facebook. I only ever chatted to Ray once, and I was three parts pissed. And it was the night Ben won the Australian heavyweight boxing title. I was backstage talking to Ben, and I was sitting there, found myself next to Ray, and I just looked at him, and I've never seen a prouder bloke than he was that night. Like, not many dads get to go, my son is the heavyweight champion of a country.
Yeah.
And I just said to him, I went, you're pretty bloody proud right now. And he just looked at me and smiled, and he said, I sure am, mate. And he was just a really, really lovely fella. I'll always remember that.
Because
he was nice to me, and I was shit-faced.
I believe I met Ray the same night. Just as shit-faced.
Yeah, I got a photo with you and I look bad. We look like road maps out of our eyes. had a few bevvies. Got a bit excited.
Most of my stories start with I'm
Well, most of your good ones anyway.
We will be back next week for episode 24. And Duke, you come up with this one, a high five this time around. We haven't had too many high fives this season.
No, I think we'll just keep the positive, keep positive.
Keep positive this week. So on the count of three, boys, 1, 2, 3. All right, there it is. And who are we giving the high five to, mate?
So Dylan Napa, 12 hours after playing the grand final, you see him walking down the front of a nightclub in Sydney, still wearing his kit head to toe, socks up, and football boots. He's wearing the boots.
Getting ready for the Roosters present the next
gone
day.
All gone out. And he's still in the clogs.
Still got his bloody springs on. Charging around.
Did he have his playing kit on too, up top?
Yeah, full playing
the whole
kit.
Whole kit.
Yeah, everyone else in the photo. Like and the team were in jean shorts.
Croc was in some nice runners and all that sort of stuff.
It's like his reserve grade waiting for first grade to come on. You know, like he's sitting there in the crowd, like walking through.
I'm ready to go in again, coach.
I'm ready. That is so good, I reckon. Yeah, you know, that's what grand finals are all about. You work hard and you get to play even harder.
It'll be interesting to see how much those boys are partying this week and like how much Cooper Cronk gets to party with the injury.
I think if the Roosters put in such careful detail into Cooper Cobb's preparation, which they've done the same thing for the after party. There will be security and
everywhere.
And locked doors everywhere.
With Nick Politis being the boss, money's not an issue for Nick, so there'd be plenty of security keeping them safe and keeping them out of trouble, you would think.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things with young guys and alcohol. It's just bad shit happens.
Oh, it does indeed. Well, that's it for this week, folks. Thanks for listening in. Don't forget to share it around and let people know to jump on board. 4 episodes left before we go on our indefinite break, so I will say get a big black dog up you.
Don't miss me too much, Canberra.
Well, I'm not going to bother making one up now.
Well, that's a wrap. And let me guess what happened in this episode. Duke and Ben argued over who was Canberra's favourite fighting son. Steve pronounced some ethnic sports folks' surnames correctly. And Scotty said something about the Newcastle Knights and tried to impress Edwards with a top 5. Am I right? Yeah, thought so. The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast couldn't be made possible without our wonderful, long-standing sponsor, The Butcher Shop Kayleen. Wrap your grub around one of their sausages. You'll love it. Till next time.